We thank you, Father, for these words. Amen. Such a cost. We can hear from our Heavenly Father, and how many Christians would they say they would love to hear that? And sometimes you're not going to be able to convince them necessarily through scriptures and stuff, because if you could hear from the Creator that easily, then everybody would be doing it, right? Not necessarily, but that's what we can with prophecy. And the neat thing about that is it said with prophecy, with Samuel, it said Yahweh would not let one of his words hit the ground. What words are you speaking? Well, they won't be eloquent. Maybe they won't be good. Maybe they won't be accurate. Yahweh is so good, he can take your words and turn them into something that will transform their life. And all of us in here can relate to that, because we've received the prophecy, not even know what it meant. And somebody's on the inside of you going, I got it. Don't worry about it. I got it. You got that? All right, because I don't speak that language. I don't know what that means. But all of a sudden you got it in there, and you just been served. And so that's how important it is to come at the prophesying. Praying for people. And then the thing is, oh, but the other thing, this is real important for a hunter. Sometimes in our life, things aren't being fulfilled. Do you know why? And when I say you, I'm including me. Because you're aiming at nothing and hitting it every time. Remember that. You're aiming at nothing and you're hitting it every time. Well, I got hope. All things are possible to him who has hope. Can't move mountains with hope or a desire. You got to stand up. You got to reach up like your dad did with hunting. Confessing scriptures. There's got to be a scripture for this. Absolutely right. And he did. And then I did it too. I looked like a fool at first. And what do? We tapped in with a lightning bolt. We're going to go, hey, I'm going to look like a fool. Okay. It's going to happen. But would you look like a fool for Yahweh and Christ? Yeah. Okay. And sometimes you're not going to want to do it. But going to go. But then he's going to tell you, imagine some sort of reward that would be worth it. And then you focus on that as a reference point. Would you do it for that? Oh, I'd do it for that. I'm single. I can imagine a princess. Yeah, I can. All right. I see Donald Trump got Ivanka Trump. Or not Ivanka Trump, but Melania. Okay. Would you do it for a princess? Yeah, just don't tell anybody about it, all right? But that's what we're doing. But you got to aim. You got to ask. You got to seek. It's not going to happen. The purpose of your life and some of these desires is to get you up out of your seat. You're supposed to be raising your hand. The people in the class that want to actually do well are going to be raising their hand going, sir, I don't know what the heck's going on here. Oh, you again? Everybody rolls their eyes because they're so worried about being embarrassed. You got to be more concerned about the final examination. For Christ, what did you do with that desire? Well, I hoped for 25 years. Failed. What about this? Well, I rose up for that one. And then we encourage people. Because when you do subdue the promised land, Caleb and Yehoshua would have inspired everybody. Give me this mountain! I'm 84 years old. I think about him going, I want the land. This is where the giant king lives. I mean, that's like Tolkien. And I used to think that he just looked like a spring chicken. No. I bet you he had a fight. I bet you he had arthritis. I bet you he had a stretch and things weren't working. And I bet you that when he said that he stepped into the supernatural. Yeah. And all of a sudden things started working a little bit. And I bet you as he started going towards that mountain, he started getting healed like the lepers when they went their way. And I bet you the first time he pulled his sword out and he hesitated a little bit to kill the giants that are coming after him, something else happened. And people were watching going, there's an Elohim living inside that man. And that's what Yahweh's waiting for all of us to do. He doesn't want it to be easy. He wants you to be a living example to everybody around you, to show them. You're like Benjamin Franklin with a tuning fork. You could do this, and we're going to look at some of the illustrations. With a tuning fork, you can go, I got 6 problems in my life. I'm not getting any resolution. What am I doing about it? Am I asking, or I need, I got 6 different ways you can go. You go, and you're going to be holding a tuning fork over this. I got nothing. Nothing. Right here. Wow. And then it's like another tuning fork. I got some sort of confirmation in there. You don't have to necessarily explain it. I got some sort of, there's another one in there. That's the way to go. Well, it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense, but I got that inner witness. And that's what Christ gives us with our problems. Now, sometimes we're going to look at King David. You're going to have to try to listen to the tuning fork when there's mortar fire. when your house is burning down. And that's part of the purpose of this teaching. So we'll start off in, I'll go back and real quick. Elizabeth was going to have a baby. She's pregnant. You think she worried about giving birth? How many women died during childbirth? I don't know. The scriptures didn't say she was worried at all. But if I was in the back of my mind, but it says that when she heard Mary's voice, what happened?
The babe leapt
inside of her womb. And what would have happened? She would have, the babe lips right. And wouldn't it be nice if you had a baby inside you to give you confirmation, this is the way, or this is the dream? And we do. We have this Holy Spirit, the Ruah Spirit, HaKodesh inside us. That will give us witness. Just like that. Yahweh's already given it to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe this is going to happen with all of us. Yahweh's going to give you confirmation to go a certain direction. I'm going to do it. That's it. I'm finally going to do it. How many times in my life is like, that's it. I'm sick and tired of being a coward. Nobody knows I'm being a coward because they don't know what I was told to do. How convenient. And then finally I get one good pep talk. I'm like, that's it. I'm tired. I'm going to do this. Also, I look at the Giants. I'm like, I don't think I thought this through. And that's what's going to happen is you're going to have to go, no, wait a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5.
Chapter 10, verse 5?
2 Corinthians chapter 10.
I'm going to go...
10 or 5?
Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. So I don't, I probably butchered that. I got a reputation for that. How do we tune in the frequency? What do we need to know? Where do we need to go? Should I be sitting? Should I be waiting? Should I be pursuing? Should I be pursuing a dream? Should I pursue a buck? You'll have that with sports every once in a while. I got halfway through my college year playing at Butler. All of a sudden the desire started going away. And so, okay. Verse 5. When we pull down calculations and every height that uplifted itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, and when we bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ, and when we hold ourselves in readiness to avenge all disobedience as soon as our obedience shall be fulfilled. Bringing our thoughts captive. There was a girl that was dead. There's a funeral in the house. Who's in the house? People that hated the girl?
No.
Or liked the girl?
They loved the girl.
They loved the girl. And Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 9, shows up. And what does he have to do with those people?
Kick them out.
Get out. Why did he have to do that? Well, there's an unbelief. Distractions, confusion. You got to get rid of that stuff. And just how Jesus Christ cleaned that house out, it wasn't that people's feelings. It was to save somebody's life. You're going to have to clean out a house, this house, many times in your life. Confusions, distractions, feeling sorry for yourself. Oh, yeah. Every one of us. Are you a victim? Well, feel like it. Nothing ever goes right. You got to rebuke that stuff. But Jesus Christ cleaned out that house, and we're supposed to do that in 2 Corinthians 5, because it says bringing every thought captive. So what do you got to do? No more unbelief. No more stinking thinking. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, and you have to clean everything out of your mind to bring every thought captive. And if you're not in control of your thoughts, you need to slam on the brakes and get in control of your thoughts. How do you do that? And Christ is inside each one of us, and He'll customize. How do you control your thoughts? And so, if I don't control my thoughts, I discipline myself like a coach. You're going to do something you don't want to do. Like what? I was worried about something. I couldn't stop worrying about them. And I was like, I got to stop this. So I stopped worrying about them, because every time I thought about them, I had to force myself to pray for Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's sex life. You think I wanted to pray for them? No. Especially like something like that. No. You know how many times that, when the thought came back once, it was a bluff. My flesh didn't think I'd do it. I go, oh, I'm going to do it. And I did it. And guess what happened to that thought? It went away. Then the thought came back again. I was getting harassed. And that was something I really didn't want to do, have anything to do. Guess what happened? The same thought that was harassing me was gone. So find a way to clean it up. Now we're going to go up to verse 5, chapter 5. Pull down calculations. Isaiah, can you explain that to us?
That's verse 5, Wendy. Wendy's.
Same spot.
Pull down a calculation. Can you explain that? Well, I'm going to. I didn't understand it. The Greek word for pull, okay, Strong's number G2507. Okay? Let's see if I can. Ek. Ever heard of ek before?
Mm-hmm.
Ek di kos. Excuse me. No, that's not the right one. It is kath ha roy. I think. Kath ha roy. And what this word is, it's to lower or demolish. You ever hear about Israel, people going in, what are they supposed to do to their idols?
Demolish.
Smash them, burn them, break them up. What are we to do? This word, pull down, it's one word, katharoi. Calculations, what is this word calculations? What is it?
Plan.
Calculations is that word ek di kos, Strong's number 15G. So G15G. It means to vindicate. It means to retaliate. You ever heard of retaliation? It means also to punish. We are to break down, smash down, and punish what? Every height that what? Uplifteth itself against the knowledge of Yahweh. Who did this? No, I'm going to keep going. Yeah. Romans 4, 20, 21. Abraham did it because it said he attentively considered everything there was. And he smashed it all. He controlled his thoughts. I'm 100 years old. She's 90 years old. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do it? He confronted it. He confronted the monster in the room, the monster in the closet. And they said, that what Yahweh had promised, able is he to perform. And that's how Abraham did it. And that's how you're to do it too. But you got to control it. And what do? Everything that is contrary to Yahweh's word, smash it, destroy it, pull it down. The knowledge of Yahweh. Does Yahweh love his name? Yes. Why don't people say it? I don't care. Are the dead alive? No, they're asleep. When people say the dead are in a better place, no, they're not. And I'm pulling those things down. It says they're asleep until Christ comes home. Blasphemous! Yeah, we're pulling down things, and that's the purpose of us. And this is how we deliver people. And when we bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ, and when we hold ourselves in readiness to do what? What's that next word?
Avenge.
You heard of the Avengers? Avenge what?
All disobedience.
All disobedience. This word, avenge. You see here. I might have got mixed up on these ones. Excuse me, avenge is the ek nikra, or the ek dairos. This word avenge here is Strong's number 3053. It's reckoning, it's I forgot to go over calculations, didn't I? Calculations is computation, is adding things up. It's all your logic. All the reasoning. I forgot to go over that. That's the calculations. All the things are standing against you. But anyways, and they avenge disobedience. Avenge it. Fight. So how are you supposed to handle your thoughts? You take it real serious. This is a serious battleground. You're aiming at nothing and you're hitting it 100%. I heard that one time. I went, wow. I'm hoping for some stuff, but you're not aiming at it. Aim small, miss small. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. So you got to clean out your mind. Christ is inside you. Does he have an opinion? Absolutely. You got to rebuke things. You got to get rid of things. Excuse me. One of the most important, you got to be obedient. Are you doing your job? Are you being holy? Separate yourself. Get your peace. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ act as your umpire to your heart, to what you've been called in Christ Jesus. The umpire. You know what an umpire is in baseball? He's one that says whether it's a foul or a good ball. Your peace will do the same thing. We got to get peaceful, clean out the mind, and he'll confirm those things. Romans 8, verse 16. Would somebody read that for me?
The Spirit itself beareth witness together with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh.
The neat thing about this, it says the Spirit itself. The reason why it says itself, other translations are going to say himself or he. The translators intentionally changed the pronouns to mislead people, to tell them what they wanted to hear. The word spirit here is not masculine, it's neuter. Spirit is neuter. It's not a male or a female. We have that in English. That's not a male or female table. It's a table. It's neuter. They put the word he in there, and they changed their word. Woe to them. But if you were going to put a pronoun in like that, that was masculine or feminine, what does pneuma, the Greek spirit, what word is it trying to replicate? Ruah. Is ruah feminine or masculine?
Neuter?
No.
Feminine.
Ruah is feminine. So you could sit there and go, hey, if you're going to change pronouns, let's just be more accurate. You could say the spirit herself. And people go, whoa, you can't say it. Actually, ruah is feminine. And it doesn't mean it's a separate entity. Wisdom is feminine. It says she. It's not another entity. But the ruah inside you, you have a tuning for it. It will bear witness. You'll get it. You're going to go, that's the way. That's the direction. Now we're going to look at some principles, these principles in action. Turn to 1 Samuel 23. And if anybody, man, a man of iron, a man of silk, King David cut the head off of Goliath going to play his harp. He could be playing music and then dodge a spear from his father-in-law who's trying to kill him. And go write a song. He can go wipe out the Amalekites and come back and sing songs to Yahweh. He's a perfect balance. How can you do that? Man, he was in fellowship with Yahweh. What do you want me to do? Go kill that guy. Okay. All right, what else? Play the harp. Okay, what else? Bake me some food. You got it. David loved to serve Yahweh. Just like a lab that loves his owner. I'll go wherever you want. And if somebody started attacking your dad in front of your dog, what did the dog do? You're not attacking him. That's what we do with Yahweh. David, wherever he went, but he went through things that we can't even understand how difficult this guy went through. And that's why his name is written more than most names in the entire Bible, in the scriptures. Chapter 23, 1 through 5. Let me get there. And most Christians today, including myself, don't rebuke that person. Well, then you're not following Yahweh. He's going that way, man. Tell that person to repent. I just had this. I'd seen somebody who's an acquaintance of an acquaintance, and two times I saw him, he's not where he's supposed to be. And the inner witness inside me is deeming to talk to this guy. I go, if I talk to him, it's going to offend everybody. It looks like he's an alcoholic. He's a fun one. Everybody likes him. And something's not right. Something's really not right. And so I try to run away from it a little bit. But if you surround your word, if you surround your life with the word, you get second and third chances. If you don't surround yourself with the word, you might get one chance. But because I turned on dad's teaching in the morning, I sat down and I started hearing about rebuking. Guess what I'm not tuning for? Are you going to correct this guy or not? Oh, man. I'm going to lose a friend. I'm going to lose a lot of friends. David would have done it. Would you do it? That, why do you say you love me? You don't do what I say. You know what I end up doing? I was going to write the guy. And then, I did a recording. And what I was going to write, that's not what came out. And it was all about stretching an arm out to this guy. And he came back upset. Then saying thank you. Then I said, I understand this. I understand this. I understand this. And I didn't want to reach out to you, and I had to think about that. And the reason why I didn't want to reach out to you is because I could lose a friend. I said, what a coward. You could lose your wife, and you could lose your life, and I'm worried about losing a friend?
Yep.
Am I going to be a coward? Are you a coward? You choose each day in each situation. Are you a coward? So I wrote that back, and he said, what kind of man are you? We need more men like you in this world. Wow. I do need help. But who would do this? And I said, I was involuntary. But that's reproving somebody. It's correcting somebody. Tell them they're wrong. And whether they accept it or not, the objective is to do whatever Yahweh tells you to do. Don't say you love them, ignore them. Parents, oh, I love you, Mom. Oh, God, then get your butt in there and pick up your dirty clothes. And so, we, anyways, 1 Samuel chapter 23, 1 through 5. Okay, so we're going to look at a tuning fork, tuning in, hearing from Yahweh to get confirmation. Then told David, verse 1, saying, lo, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah. Right now, David is on the run because his father-in-law is trying to kill him. He's got 400 people with him. These are not the finest of the finest. These were not at SEAL Team 6. These are other people that are they're defectors. And now he's got 400 people with him. They're trying to survive. They're being hunted. Lo, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, Jews, or Hebrews, and they are plundering the threshing floor. What did David say? Better than me. What did David do? So David inquired of Yahweh, you know, like, saying, shall I go smite these Philistines? He asked a question. And what did Yahweh say? And Yahweh said unto David, bing, go. And when he would have got that confirmation back, it would have been peace. He's a God of peace, not confusion. Okay, David turns around, he got confirmation. But the men of David said unto him, lo, we are here in Judah are afraid. How much more? They're afraid of the Jews killing them. The Hebrews killing them. They're being hunted. Afraid of much more than if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines. So he went back to Yahweh. And David said, yet again, inquired of Yahweh. Yahweh answered and said, arise, go down to Keilah. David went into battle with 400 people. How many men do you think you're going to lose in a battle? An eighth? 300 men. You guys remember that with King Ahasuerus, with Mordecai and Esther? How many people are dead? And they came back with reports. David went into this battle, he came out with 600. 50% more men. Okay? Now, let me see here. And in this case, let me see. Okay, so they go down. Now verse 6, now it came to pass when Abithar son of Ahimelech fled unto David to Keilah that he came out and came down with an ephod in his hand. And when it was told Shaul that David had entered Keilah, Shaul said, Elohim hath given him over into my hand, for he hath shut himself in by entering into a city with folding doors and a bar. So Shaul summons, he can't go anywhere, he's trapped, we finally got this guy. Summoned all the people to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men, not to thank him for saving the city. And David ascertained that against him Shaul was contriving. The rumor comes, Saul's coming. Mischief, so he said unto Abithar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Who did he have near him? Not a religious person per se. We got plenty of Christians who with crosses, they'll teach things, but they're not going to talk to Yahweh and do what he says necessarily. Maybe they're 30% accurate. They won't even say his name. What did he do? He had somebody he could rely on. And what is Abithar going to say? I lost where I was. 10. David said, O Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, thy servant hath heard that Shaul is seeking to come unto Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. He asked the question. And I like to think of it as like having things on a plate. You got to ask. And then he's going to say, will the owners of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Because it possibly could have been that they go, we're fine, we got enough people with Keilah, unless they surrender us. Well, why would that happen? Let's go talk to the boss. Second question. Will Shaul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I tell thee, tell thy servant. And Yahweh said, he will come. How many questions did he have? Two questions. How many answers did he get back? One. Sometimes you have to ask more than once. So he got one confirmation, like the tuning fork. Saul's coming. Okay. And then he goes, then David said, again, will the owners of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Shaul? And Yahweh said, they will surrender. Strap up, we're out. You got the confirmation, you got the peace, we got to go now. And you'll have that too. Y'all will say, go, leave now. Or whatever it is, just go. And then you explain it later. Yahweh will explain to them later, the believers. They will surrender. Verse 13, then arose David and his men, about 600, and went forth into Keilah, and went to and fro whithersoever they could, and said unto Shaul, it was told that David hath escaped. How did he get away? He's always getting away. He's like a roadrunner and a coyote. I was going to go into a whole other illustration, but I am getting a tuning fork. Don't go there. So I got a whole teaching here. I got some more stuff, and I want to encourage you guys to read it. Maybe this so this could be on your read chapter 30 and see what happens to David then. And David's going to have to do the same thing. You think you've been in a tight spot? Not now, but you go read. And you think you've been in a tight spot? You can't hear clearly. Read what happens to his mouth. And then Yahweh will show you that what he did, he didn't go, why me? Why? Why is it my kids again? You rebuke those things. You bring every thought captive. I am not a victim. And if you start getting victim thinking, you rebuke it. Your flesh, or my flesh, or old man can be so subtle. Because he'll say things, and if we didn't like it, we would stop it. But isn't that weird how our flesh likes to be a victim? It's you again, Mel. All these things keep happening to you. What do? In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I am not a victim. I'm a victor. I am the daughter of the Most High Elohim. And my future is better than anything I could ever imagine. And what happens then? You just cleaned it out. Then Yahweh goes, thank you. It's like having dog poop all over your house and you invite Jesus Christ to come in. Really? You couldn't pick up a little bit? And that's what our brains could be. David also, 2 Corinthians, he brought every thought captive. He also, the things that were against Yahweh's word, maybe your job is never going to end. Is this what's going to happen? What's going to happen with our marriage? These are obstacles. Pull the obstacles down. We know what Yahweh's word is. We know what his promises are. We know about, and then you go, what do I know? And you pull those things down and you vindicate them. You chop them up. Because they're an enemy. It's a copperhead. It's a rattlesnake. It's stinking thinking. And it's just the beginning. Israel posted something. He said, Satan did not talk Adam and Eve into committing adultery or murdering somebody. He just questioned the word. That's all I need. That same thing will happen with you if you don't confront your stinking thinking. If it's against his promises that he told you, then you rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. You say, get out of here. You speak it, faith comes by hearing. And you clean that place back out. I say, I'm sorry. How did poop get everywhere again? He's like, don't worry about it. Just keep cleaning. It's not that big of a deal. When I was in high school, we'd have messes. And mom, then she finally rebuked me. She goes, if you make a stain, just clean it up. Tell me later. But clean it up. And I went, oh, that's what we got to do. But David did that. Colossians 3:15. He's a God of peace. No, that's not Colossians 3:15. That's the umpire of your heart. God of peace. I forget which one is it. 1 Corinthians 14. He's a God of peace, not a confusion. And Romans 8:16. Once you clean the things out, once you get rid of the, oh, I just want to answer this prayer, then clean your brain out. Rebuke it. Attack it. You really want to know an answer? Then clean it out. Get quiet. Separate yourself. Think about somebody else. Pray for somebody else. Go into real detail. I got to go run for an hour. How unprofitable. That's a lot of energy just so I can hear.
Yeah.
It works for me. He'll tell you what you need to do. And then Romans 8:16 said, it will bear witness with something that's already inside you. It just makes sense. I know which way I need to go. Actually, you're really good at that, Izzy. Whether people follow you or not, I know I'm doing. And there goes Izzy. Dad's like that. There they go. And so, first, you got to walk in fellowship. You got to be obedient. Are you speaking in tongues? How often are you speaking in tongues? How often are you praying? How many chapters do you read a day? How many scriptures do you recite a day? That is walking in fellowship. That is walking in holiness. And it's not extra credit. I like to think of that. I just got rebuked. Quit telling people how many times you do it, Aaron. Oh, you're exalting yourself. And your bar is this low. You're embarrassing yourself, Aaron. Well, I'm taller than everybody else. You stop it. the point of all this is not to exalt yourself, it's so you can try to keep up with me. And then, but be ready for Ziklag. So that's 30. So that'll be the Ziklag. When it appears somebody dies, Andrew Womack's son died. And he and his wife started singing songs. In his case, what was on the line? His son had a toe tag and his body was turning black. In the cooling. And he didn't necessarily know that. But what did he do? What do you think happened to his flesh? Oh, you a healing minister. Your son's dead. Whatever it was. He and his wife forced themselves to sing songs to Yahweh. And they sang and they sang and they sang and they sang. And then after he was singing, he remembered that there was a prophecy about his son in the future. So what did he do? He broke down that stronghold in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke you. Nothing gets between Yahweh. Because what happens when you go hunting? You get an obstacle. What happens to your buck? Your buck's gone. You go trim the tree branches, right? You get rid of the obstacles. There's obstacles in every single one of our lives. Are you going to get rid of them? And either you got to physically remove them, they could be people in your life, it could be thinking, or you rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care how big it is. I'll shoot through the mountain because my father told me the buck's on the other side. And what was the other thing that's really, really important about that, David wasn't sitting around going, oh, I wish I could lead so many men. I wish people would come to me. That was his wicked son Absalom. David didn't want that. How many people followed David? How many people does Yahweh need you to lead? He's got people, with every one of us, more people that need a leader. And he goes, if you chime in, you start fulfilling your calling. He goes, all you need is me. Tune in your frequency, and you will set the captives free. We'll go ahead and hear from our Father. Father, we thank you for these words. And we thank you. Don't be fearful. You have to confront fear. Fear is an evil, wicked, I can see it like fog rolling underneath the door. And it's not something that's easily removed. But you got to confront it real quick. I could see a picture of like a smoke coming out of an oven, and the smoke detectors are going to be going off, all kinds of things. And the smoke detectors is almost be like things are going to get worse and worse and worse. So what you got to do is before the smoke detectors really make things bad in your life, you got to clean things out. You got to open up the windows. You got to turn on the fans, and then not freak out. You have salvation. Christ is coming back. And as you do so and you clean these things out and you confront those fears, you'll get the peace, you'll get the confirmation, and when you get those things, you'll get the reward and you'll get the victory. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.